Hello, everyone. It's glad to be here today. About 3 weeks ago, John Murphy wore glasses at his sermonette. Now, he's a father. I am now a grandfather, so I can legally wear these. So I'll wear them today. We have all experienced pain in our lives. Pain of a bee sting. Or something as simple as a paper cut. It can be painful. Pain can be more intense, like a sprained ankle or a broken leg. One who is in constant pain because of a bad back can suffer pain for a long period of time, sometimes years. And all you ladies out there who have given birth know what the pain of childbirth is all about. Today, I would like to suggest to you there are two types of pain greater than these physical pains I have described tonight, this afternoon. We are here because we seek God and His kingdom. We learn from the scriptures that God has said that our ways are not His ways. You see, God is spirit, and we are flesh. God has placed into each of us a human spirit, the spirit of man. This human spirit imparts the power of intellect. That is the thinking that gives our brains the power of the mind. Yet in this state, man is incomplete. Romans 2:14 says that, but the natural man, and here we're talking about the us who are in the flesh, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It is only when we receive the Holy Spirit of God, which then combines with our human spirit, can we comprehend what is truly spiritual. God has given to each of us a free will to choose God or not to choose God and His ways. When we, by free choice, make the decision and choose to commit our lives to God, and we do that through repentance, and we do that through baptism, and having one of God's ministers lay His hand upon us, then God gives to us a measure of His Holy Spirit. At that time, we are given spiritual discernment, and we are really establishing a relationship with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. But now, our spiritual path, we're confronted with two great pains. The first great pain is the pain of discipline. So when I say the word discipline, what do you think of? Basically, there are two meanings for the word discipline that most people think of. And in the verb form, the word discipline may mean, it could be defined as to punish, penalize, to chastise someone for a wrong. For example, I could say that the students that were fighting in the class were sent to the principal's office for discipline. Now, the second meaning of discipline is training expected to produce a specific character or pattern of behavior, especially to teach self-control. Now, in this second meaning of discipline, this is one I would like to focus on today. So what is so difficult about disciplining ourselves? Well, to discipline ourselves is easy, is it not? Or is it? Mark Twain once said that when he wanted to stop smoking, that stop smoking was the easiest thing he had ever done in his whole life. He did it 100 times. The truth is that disciplining ourselves is not easy. It's difficult and painful. Now, we have the best intentions to read God's Word on a daily basis, the Bible. We want to pray daily to God, meditate on His Word, His life, and ways that He gives to us. We plan to go to the Bible studies to increase our understanding of God's Word. We like to attend churches frequently on a daily basis, Sabbath basis. But what happens? We do the best to discipline ourselves to do that. But what happens is that we also fail to do so, and we feel pain. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7:19, and this is the modern King James Version, he says, "For I do not do the good that I desire, but the evil which I do not will that I do." So how do we overcome the pain of lacking self-control in the spiritual matters of life that we want to do, but do not do them? Well, let me share you with a story that has been told and retold many times at the Wills household. My mom had an older brother that was 2 years older than her, and she had a sister that was 2 years younger. The three of them met their intendeds, fell in love, and they got married, all within a span of 4 months. And they lived in the same area, general area, and they thought it would be good twice a Saturday night to meet at one of each other's homes. And the lady of the house would cook the meal for everyone. Now, it wasn't potluck, and they would do this on a rotating basis. So after a few times, my dad, as he tells the story, he says that my uncle's new wife, my aunt, it was a pleasure to visit her. Everybody enjoyed her, but they did not go there for the cooking. She was a terrible cook. And this went on for a few times. And one day, she brought out on the table a tuna fish casserole. And not only did it look great, it tasted great. And everybody's real excited about it. And they gave her a lot of praise. As my mom said, she was trying to sit there and put her head back and just absorb all this praise. And she loved it. Well, the next time they were at my uncle's house, she brought out this tuna fish casserole. And everybody gave her praise. And she was all excited about that. Well, in the next rotation cycle, they came to my uncle's house, and once again, she brought out this tuna fish casserole. And everybody praised her. Well, guess what happened on the fourth time at my uncle's house? You're probably getting ahead of the story, but can you guess what she brought out on the table? Tuna fish casserole. And everybody looked at the casserole, and they looked at each other, and they didn't say a word. Just looked at each other, and after everybody had served out this dish, my uncle took a couple bites. And he looked at my aunt and he said, "Honey, I know we haven't been married a long time, but this has to be the best dish you ever made for me personally and for all of us here. I'm just curious, how did you ever come up with such a good idea for this tuna fish casserole?" Well, she was kind of excited now then. She says, "Well, honey, I got this recipe out of a cookbook." And my uncle said, "Well, turn the page." Well, brethren, what we need to do is literally turn the pages in our Bible to understand God's will and mercy for us. Now, there was nothing wrong with my aunt's casserole tuna fish dish. And we can be in a very comfortable position in our life. But God sees our potential. And we are not yet there. God wants us to turn the page in our life to reach a higher standard of life. As long as we are a piece of clay rotating on the potter's wheel, that's all we are. We're just a piece of clay. What we need to understand is that we have to turn the page on our human spirit and fully give ourselves fully to the Spirit and God in everything we do. When we do that, then the master potter can work with the clay. You see, it really isn't about self-improvement. It's all about transformation. Discipline results in a transformation, and that's from a person of sin to a person who believes in God and obedience to God. Discipline in ourselves results in pain when we try to do it. Now, we can go to the bookstore and read all those self-improvement books on our own. But we are deceiving ourselves because we're not including God in the picture. Now, the second great pain in our journey, our spiritual journey, is the pain of regret. The difference in the two pains is that the pain of discipline is like carrying 20 pounds on our shoulders. The pain of regret is like carrying tons upon our shoulders. We all have regrets in our lives. The person who sits in prison will most likely have a worldly regret. That is, he regrets on being caught. Now turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 7:10, and we'll read about the importance of regret in our lives, or as the Bible says, the word sorrow for regret. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, the Bible says this, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." The pain of regret leads to repentance, which means change, a transformation in us. We may regret that we hurt others, but until we come to the grips that the sin that we commit that leads to a pain of regret is actually that we have sinned against God the Father. In our weakness, we can cry out to God to overcome a change in ourselves from the spirit of man, which is selfishness, to a character of selflessness. And God says He will help us. The pain of discipline is very subtle, because we may not immediately see the results of it. The pain of regret, though, is very heavy. Sometimes in the past, I've heard that people, I overhear people say that they regretted doing certain things, and they don't feel worthy of taking the Passover. That's what regret does. I think what we need to understand is why Christ sacrificed His life for us. He paid the penalty of our sins. 3 days and three nights He laid in the grave, and now He sits at the right hand of God. God the Father accepted that for all mankind. He paid the penalty for us. So, brethren, we need to turn the page in our lives, move on about the regrets in our lives, give it to God. Our journey, as the scripture says, is one of endurance. It is not one long, continuous journey of endurance, but a series of short journeys of endurance. You see, every age, a teenager, a young person, a married person, a senior citizen, each stage in our life will have pains of regret and pains of discipline that we need to overcome. So let's put all this into God's hands. in doing so, God will say to us, welcome.